What is up, Yankee fans? My name is Ryan Garcia. This is Fireside Yankees. And over the last 12 to 48 hours, we've gotten a slew of updates on the Cody Bellinger market. We'll talk about some of that stuff. There's an impasse, according to Buster Olney, in these conversations. We'll talk about what would a responsible offer for Cody Bellinger look like, kind of basing that off of what John Heyman reported earlier this week about the team having an official offer on the table. And does that mean we're in the final hour? We've gotten more and more updates. We're getting closer and closer to spring training. And if we're at the offer stage, it means we might be in the final hour. The end might be near, my friends, as I tweeted on social media when some of the reports had been coming out. And we'll talk about the pivot plan. Bo Bichette seems to be part of the Yankee pivot plan. And we'll talk about all of that and more right here on Fireside Yankees. Before we get into everything, make sure you guys like, subscribe, and turn on that notification bell in order to get updates and stay up to date on what's going on with the Yankees. We're going to have constant conversation here on the Fireside Yankees podcast. Stay tuned for what will be an announcement of a new show schedule for the 2026 year. We're going to have some longer podcasts on this, kind of like we used to have with the shows, but it's not going to be daily in that regard. We'll still have kind of daily content, but there'll be dedicated days for minor league stuff, dedicated days for mailbags, things of that nature, so that you guys get constant and consistent content that you guys can come back to here on the Fireside Yankees channel. That'll include stream schedules as well. I want to thank our patrons, our paying patrons, Vinny, Archie040, Jagger Stevens, Flyatori, Luke Becker, Terry, Bill Ryan. Thank you all so much for supporting us on Patreon. And without further ado, let's just jump straight into this video. Let's talk about the impasse. Now, what is this impasse? Bo Bichette is someone that Buster only mentions in this segment, and we'll get into that in a bit, but the part that he opens with is that the Yankees would obviously want Cody Bellinger back. The direct quote is, the Yankees, no question, want Cody Bellinger, but also notes that there is an impasse right now, that these two sides seem to still have a gap in negotiations. And usually, you know, this kind of conversation, we had the official offer report from John Heyman. I'm not sure if Buster only knows the official offer or if he was tipped off on that, but what we know right now is that the Yankees, if they have made an offer, would be in kind of the final stages of this Cody Bellinger sweepstakes. And my question here with the Bellinger and the Yankees thing is it not obvious at this point that both of these sides really want each other, that both of these sides are very publicly and very obviously best suited with each other, given what they're willing to do financially, that being the Yankees, and given what Bellinger is looking for and what the market has become for him? So let's look at this from the Yankees' perspective. If they were in on Kyle Tucker, and I wish they were in on Kyle Tucker, I believe he's their best fit, but that's a different conversation. In that scenario, I do believe that the New York Yankees would be best off with Kyle Tucker, but they're not in on Kyle Tucker, which means I think their best course of action in free agency is signing Cody Bellinger back at a reasonable contract. If there is a world where you can get him on a five-year deal, that is the world I'm happy with. If it's a seven-year deal, then you should move on. But, this kind of conversation is not the one you would have for a guy that you're desperately head over heels going to bring back. Those kinds of reports would be kind of an indication that your odds of bringing back the player aren't that strong. But in this scenario, the New York Yankees are not facing a difficult market for Cody Bellinger. So let's kind of compare this to other top free agent pursuits of the past, both successful and failed. The retaining of Aaron Judge, the Yankees were aggressive, they were constantly trying to make these top offers, and they ended up with the player. The Yankees extended themselves to 9 years, 360. Hal Steinbrenner got involved. I mean, that's some pretty serious stuff. I don't imagine that Cody Bellinger's ending this saga by calling Hal Steinbrenner and saying, I want to talk to you. But when it comes to that, I mean, the Yankees made a full court press to bring back Aaron Judge. Yoshinobu Yamamoto, they made a full court press to try and bring him in. They made a $300 million offer. They met with the player multiple times. They publicly made it clear they wanted him. With Juan Soto, they were aggressive. They extended themselves to a $750 million, or I think a $760 million contract over 16 years. They were willing to try and beat the market for Soto and beat the market for Yamamoto and beat the market for Judge. Obviously, all three of these players are better than Bellinger, which ties back to my point of this kind of discourse of the Yankees are not trying to blow the top off the market for Cody Bellinger is not because they don't want him back, but because he's not that kind of player, and they're not going to treat him like that kind of player in the market. And the rest of the league has acted similarly. We have not seen the aggressive full-court pursuit from the Mets that I would have expected at the start of the offseason if I had been told that the Mets are going to lose Alonso, the Mets are going to lose Edwin Diaz, and they're going to have financial flexibility to go out and bring in a Cody Bellinger. They're going to trade Brandon Nimmo to create a need in the corner outfield. Again, all of these things, all of these variables should have pointed to a pivot to Cody Bellinger. But then you look at things beyond just the surface level. What would be the Mets' output? What would be Bellinger's output with the Mets? Right field doesn't fit that well because of the deeper right field in Citi Field. Bellinger's swing wouldn't work that well there. Would he produce a OPS plus closer to 120 or closer to 110? Is the over-under on OPS plus around 110 if he's a New York Met? Those kinds of questions do matter. But with the Yankees, we know the ballpark works well for Bellinger, and projections are going to likely have him being about 5% worse than he was last year offensively, which is a downgrade. It is a decrease in output, but it's not a dramatic enough decrease in output where you wouldn't expect the player to return on a $27 million investment in the first few years of that contract. The question here is, how long do you want to go into this contract? I don't think teams are dying to go 6 years or 7 years. I think that the sweet spot for the Yankees is a five-year deal, maybe an option for that sixth year, maybe incentive-based option, maybe an opt-out for Bellinger during the middle of the contract. There's some other ways we can get creative with this, but I simply do not believe that the New York Yankees and Cody Bellinger have anything better going for them, considering what they want and what the market is. I don't think the Yankees are going to pivot to Tucker, so I think their best bet is Bellinger. And for Bellinger, I don't think there's another team that desperately wants him or really wants him as badly as the Yankees do, so I think his best bet is the Yankees. And I think by being in the offer stage, we're in a good spot. I think we're in a good spot. I think we're at the point where, we're at the point where I think this is going to come to an end. I think this is going to come to an end soon. We'll see if it's this weekend. We'll see if it's this upcoming week. But I do believe that the New York Yankees and Cody Bellinger will get an answer on what's going to happen here. So we'll see what ends up happening, and we'll talk about that and more right here on Fireside Yankees. Again, like, subscribe, and turn on that notification bell. Let's move on to talk about the Cody Bellinger budget. Where should the Yankees be with Cody Bellinger? Well, I think financially a fair offer where you're giving in a little bit to the player, but you're also not overextending yourself, is a five-year deal at around $140 million. It's a little bit better than what Fangraphs projects, which is a five-year $135 deal, but it is below what ESPN, what The Athletic, what SpotTrack, what all these websites projected for Bellinger, because I simply do not believe that it's going to have to go to a seventh year without an aggressive push from another team. Now, if another team makes an aggressive push and offers him a seven-year contract, I believe you should let Cody Bellinger go. We'll go into the pivot plan in a second, but I simply do not believe the New York Yankees are in a good position if they sign Cody Bellinger on a seven-year contract. Could they win baseball games in 26? Yes, but do I think you compromise the long-term future of this roster? Do I think you're offering a clearly underwater contract and a deal that might maybe takes you out of any other future free agent pursuits of significant consequence, at least for the next 3 years while Cole and Rodon are still on the payroll? Yes, and I think that's some of the issues you have there. But if Bellinger is on this five-year deal, well, then after 2 years, or after 1 year, the LeMahieu deal is done. After 2 years, the Stanton deal is done. After 3 years, the Cole and Rodon deal is done. 4 years, I'm not sure of the big contracts that are coming off then, but after 5 years, then Bellinger's done. So you're in a situation, and then after 6 years, Judge is done. So you're in a situation where you're clearing out virtually all of your massive contracts, with the exception of Max Fried, while a lot of your good players are starting to hit arbitration and then become free agents. I know Jazz is a free agent, Bednar's a free agent after next year. That is money coming off the books, but you have to look at things from the standpoint of, you don't want to be tied to Cody Bellinger for 7 years. You want to be in a situation where when the decade comes to a close, Bellinger's contract with the Yankees comes to a close, because it'd be 26, 27, 28, 29, and 30. When the 2030 season's over, you want to be able to put an end to the Cody Bellinger contract and go from there. He'd be a 36-year-old. I think that at that point, he's probably not going to be an effective starting left fielder. You hope that at that point, that is when you're done. That is when you're no longer having to try and roster him and throw him out there. Do I think he can be productive in his age 33 and 34 seasons? Yes, given the way his athleticism has kind of gone, where his sprint speed has remained very consistent entering his age 30 season. He has remained as quick, as athletic. His body seems to have holding up pretty well. So we'll kind of see, you know, what it ends up looking like in the next 3 or 4 years. I think, again, this is a guy who you can get production from for the next 2 to 3 years. And then in that fourth, fifth year, you're going to see a sharp decline, I think. But you don't want to be stuck with that for 4 years of a sharp decline. You want like one or two years of that. So that's where I would be with Bellinger. Again, about $27 million a year, 5 years, and let's see if another team beats it. Now, are we in the final hour here? I think we are. I think being in the offer stage tells you that the Yankees are submitting an official, formal offer. Like, that's what John Heyman reported. That's typically not something you do until you're there. You're there in terms of, like, all right, we're going to make a decision, that being the player. And I will say this when it comes to Cody Bellinger and when it comes to the Yankees and when it comes to the rest of the market here, you know, the public signaling, the public reporting, the fact that we're getting more insight as to what's going on tells you that there's some agent talk going on here. I do not think it is completely insignificant that in the same week, John Heyman reports that the Yankees are not worried about losing him to the Mets and that there has been an official offer submitted. I do not think that is because he just wanted to throw that out there. Now, I do think John Heyman is just doing his job of reporting what he's hearing, but I don't believe he was told that the person or the party telling him that is anyone other than Scott Boras in his camp. So I say it to say, again, not that it's a disingenuous report, not that it's an incorrect report, and not that that report is probably not what's actually happening. I am saying that to say there is someone who would benefit from that being out there, and that would potentially be Cody Bellinger, because that would signal to other teams, hey, if you want the player, now's the time, because this window is coming to a close. And, you know, we see this kind of stuff from Heyman all the time. We see this kind of stuff about Boras clients and trying to get some garner or kind of force some other teams into action. Whether that call to action works, whether that call to action forces the Mets to be more aggressive, whether that call to action forces the Dodgers to be more aggressive, we will see. But if it does not, then I do believe the New York Yankees will end up with Cody Bellinger. And again, my guess, just my guess, it's this is not public reporting. This is nothing of the sort. What I believe is going to happen is that the Yankees are going to have the best offer, or they're going to have basically the best offer, or tied with other offers, and that Bellinger will return. I feel like I would give the Yankees chances of signing Bellinger a better than 50%, not like 80%, 90%, but like a 60%, a 60, a 55, 65%, somewhere in that range. That's kind of where I'm at, where I think the most likely outcome is that Cody Bellinger comes back. I would take the Yankees against the field. That is what I would do too, because I don't think the field is that big. I think there's like two or three teams in that mix, maybe. And I'll be honest, I think it's just the Mets and the Dodgers, maybe. And I don't know how far they're willing to extend themselves. So we'll see, but time will tell with this situation. Which again, it feels like we are going down to we are getting down to the point where we're in the final hours of this. And again, if you're really enjoying this video, like, subscribe, turn on that notification bell. Let's finish things off talking about a potential pivot plan. Let's talk about a world where, all right, Heyman reported that the Mets aren't really a threat and that the Yankees have an offer on the table, and Steve Cohen goes down to David Stearns and goes, hey, if you want to give this guy 7 years, I'm willing to pay it. And then he gives him 7 years, and now he's a New York Met. That's just one of the scenarios in which you'll find yourself in a pivot plan. What would the Yankees do in this scenario? Well, I think Bo Bichette, the reporting from Buster Olney, that he feels as if, you know, Bichette has kind of become the safety net for the Yankees if they were to lose out on Bellinger. It indicates two things. Number one, Bellinger and Bichette are not happening together. The Yankees are not signing both. And number two, they believe Bellinger's a better fit than Bichette on the roster. And I would agree on that. I think that given the composition of the roster, the talent you have already existing on the roster, Jason Dominguez is a worse player than Jazz Chisholm. So that's part of my nucleus. If you were to sign Bichette, you would need to acquire a left fielder. I want to credit Chris NYY on this, because I did not come up with this. The idea of like, hey, if you sign Bichette, you trade for Stephen Kwan. And, you know, I think that's at that point, yes, I think you're a better team than if you just signed Bellinger. I don't know what the cost of Oquan would be on the trade market. I know that the Guardians asked for a ton from the Dodgers this past deadline. I would see no reason to believe that that's not the case in the offseason, but maybe they're more desperate this time. We'll see. But when it comes to the New York Yankees and Bo Bichette, there are some pluses and there are some minuses here with Bichette's profile. He is a really good hitter. We're all aware of this. 129 OPS plus this past year. The bat, I think, actually works better in Yankee Stadium than people give it credit for. I don't think he would struggle to hit in New York as a right-handed hitter who hits the ball hard and hits it on the line everywhere. That profile works anywhere. I don't think that's ballpark dependent. I think that when you look at the fit for what the Yankees struggle with, which is left-handed pitching, at least based on what the roster is right now, remember, two of their three best hitters from last year against lefties are not on the roster. That's Goldschmidt and Bellinger. And their fourth best is Stanton, who, you know, spends a lot of time in the IL. So not necessarily a strong feeling when you could have a good chunk of your regular season where you face a lefty, you face Garrett Crochet and Amed Rosario and Jose Caballero, your second and third best hitters. That's not what you really want. So I do think Bichette is a big, big help in that regard. And then as we kind of like narrow down some of the other small perks here, you're taking him from the Blue Jays. The contract structure could work well for the Yankees. Maybe he ends up signing a three-year deal with opt-outs. That's a low commitment thing. You're not, you know, clogging up the payroll long term. You can make a decision next winter on if you want to sign Scooble or pursue a Scooble. You would be 2 years away from Cole Rodon expiring, 1 year away from Stanton expiring. LeMahieu would have expired. Jazz, Bednar already expired. You want to bring some of those guys back, you can. Like there are some benefits from a financial standpoint as well, depending on what Bichette signs, but I ultimately believe that as standalone signings, so you just signed Bellinger or you just signed Bichette, I would rather just sign Bellinger. And I understand, you know, there's going to be a little bit of pushback there, like, hey, you know, well, you know, you got to change things up. You can't run back the same team. I do not believe you should make decisions position by position or independent decisions based solely off of, well, I brought back my center fielder. I can't bring back my whole team from last year, so I'm not going to bring back Bellinger. I'm going to bring in Bichette and then create a situation where I'm probably lateraling at second base. I know that people don't agree with that as well, but look at the numbers. I mean, last year, Josh Chisholm's OPS plus was 4 points worse than Bichette, but a considerably better runner, a considerably better defensive second baseman than Bichette would likely be because Bichette is very slow-footed. His sprint speed, that being Bichette's, has declined sharply, and he's only had more injuries pile on. So again, I mean, we all can kind of bring this back to Jazz about a four-win player. Bichette's about a four-win player. I don't think I'm getting considerably better. Maybe I'm getting a better profile for second base for the Yankees, given their weaknesses against lefties, but is getting a better profile at second base and then having to bring in a platoon outfielder and getting considerably worse defensively at both second base and left field, is that what this roster needs? Is that what this roster needs right now? Because I don't believe that's what this roster needs. I don't think I could stomach watching a Dominguez, Grisham, Judge outfield defensively. I think that'd be one of the worst defensive outfields in the game. You get to these big, spacious outfields. You go play in Sacramento, you're going to get mauled. You go play in a ballpark, like even Toronto, you might get mauled. So I do think it's important. It's imperative for the Yankees to really pay attention to their defensive structure. You cannot afford two massive downgrades at those positions, I think. And you know, Bellinger's a cleaner fit. He hits lefties as well. Plays really good defense in the outfield. You don't have to trade Jazz in that scenario. And Jazz, I think, is a better player than Jason Dominguez by a pretty considerable, pretty healthy margin. And you're not getting worse defensively. You're having a really strong defensive team. In left field, I feel good. Right field, I feel good about Judge. I have the ability to move Bellinger to center field if needed, whereas I wouldn't have that flexibility and pliability. You don't even have to force a trade of Dominguez. If you can acquire a starting pitcher without trading Dominguez, then you've got Dominguez as this 10th outfielder, or 10th player, excuse me, and this fourth outfielder who is going to get playing time. When Stanton, of course, gets hurt, or if Grisham is not very good this year, then you can put Bellinger in center field. If Bellinger gets hurt, you can put Jason in left field. If Judge gets hurt, if Grisham gets hurt, like, there is insurance there. So I just think there's a little bit more you can do with your outfield in that scenario. And Bichette might be on the market again next year without the qualifying offer, with Bichette, Chaz, and Horner all being second base options on the market. like you can revisit this. I don't think this is the last time you're ever going to get to bid on Bo Bichette in free agency. I think you'll get to bid on him next year, given the way that the contract conversations are kind of going with that. That's just a guess on my end. But again, I think that, you know, all things equal, he'd go back to the Blue Jays. I think all things equal, Bellinger would end up on the Yankees. We'll see what ends up happening. But if you enjoyed today's video, make sure you guys like, subscribe, and turn on that notification bell. We really appreciate your support here on Fireside Yankees, displayed on the graphic, thanking our patrons once again. You guys are the best. We really appreciate your support. Like, subscribe, turn on that notification bell, comment below. Bellinger, Bichette, what do you guys think? Again, we appreciate your support, and we'll see you guys in the next one. Peace out, everybody. Perfect.